الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our discussion about شروط وجوب الزكاة شروط وجوب الزكاة the conditions for the obligation of paying a zakat. We have seen that a zakat, it is an obligation. It is an obligation to be performed. But there are conditions that must be present before that obligation is applied to a specific individual, before it will become obligatory upon a specific individual. These conditions, they must be present. And likewise, the mawani', they must be also lifted. And the things that would prohibit the application of that ruling, likewise, they're called الشروط والموانع. الشروط والموانع. We're discussing now these conditions. The conditions for the obligation of zakat. In our previous class, we had discussed a number of them, and we have seen the first one was al-Islam. A person, he must be a Muslim. And likewise, al-Hurriya. He must be a free person. And likewise, the third condition is that the wealth, it must be from al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. It must be from al-amwal al-zakawiyyah, those types of wealth that the zakat is required upon. And we have seen those in our previous class. We were discussing al-milk al-tam, which is the fourth condition that we discuss in these lessons. Al-milku al-tam, to have complete ownership. So this is a condition for the obligation of zakat, that a person, he must have complete ownership over the wealth. He must have complete ownership over the wealth. And this means that he's able to do what he wants with his wealth whenever he wants, that he has a complete ownership over it, and he has authority over it, and he's able to use it, and that wealth is available for him whenever he likes, and to use it in this manner. As for if a person he had ownership over some wealth or property, and it's from the al-amwal al-zakawiyyah, but he's not able to do what he wants with it. He has ownership over it, but it's not available for him to do whatever he wants with it, then the ruling here will be different, and he will not have to pay zakat on it. But there are details. So we discuss this issue now. We discuss the issue now of somebody who owns something. He owns some wealth that initially it will be obligatory to pay zakat on that wealth, but his ownership here has deficiency, meaning although he owns it and it belongs to him, he's not able to do what he likes with it. He does not have access to it. Yani completely and entirely. For example, a person who has his money in a bank account, and something had happened to him, and he has, for example, criminal charges, or he has a case with the state or with the government, and they put a hold on his account. He's not able to access his account. He has money in the bank. The money belongs to him. He has complete ownership of this money, but he cannot access it. He cannot access it. So this money right here, no matter how much it was, and if it's over the nisab, if a year goes by, a hawl goes by on that wealth or more, it's not obligatory to pay zakat on it. Why? Because it's not milk tam. He has milk. He has the milk. He has a ownership. يملكه لكنه لا يستطيع أن يتصرف فيه كما شاء وينتفع به كما يريد. He's not able to use it as he likes or benefit from it as he wants. So therefore, it's not obligatory for him to pay zakat on this particular wealth. Likewise, somebody who has a debt owed to him, somebody who loans somebody some money. He loans somebody an amount of money, and that person is supposed to pay it back, but he's unable to pay it back because he's poor. He doesn't have the money. Yani somebody who is considered faqir, he doesn't have the wealth to pay back the debt. So this money likewise is his, it belongs to him. He has ownership over that money. Somebody, for example, he loans somebody $5,000. He loans somebody $5,000. That person is supposed to pay it back. When it's time to pay it back, he can't pay it back. He does not have any money, he's broke. Literally, the person now is poor. The person now is poor. So this money, it belongs to him, but he's not able to use it. He's not able to benefit from it. He's not able to benefit from it. So this wealth here, likewise, there's no zakat on that. So this wealth here, likewise, there's no zakat on that. And also, another example is if somebody, he loans somebody some money. For example, he loaned another person $5,000. And that person, he's not poor. That person, he's not poor. Maybe he's a businessman, for example, but he's mumatil. He's mumatil. He's delaying the person unrightfully. Maybe he took a loan and then he went and used it in the markets and in the business and the likes like that, and he became more wealthy than the one who loaned him the money. But every time he comes back to ask him for his wealth, he tells him, right now my money's tied up right here, or come back next week. And he'll come back next week and he's like, oh no, we just purchased all these items, inshallah, we're gonna sell them, we're hoping on a good trade and a bargain, come back next month like this. He has the money. He has the money, but he keeps delaying him and postponing him and the likes like this. This person here, he has authority of the money, but he can't get access to it. So the first time is because his bank account is locked. The second example is because the person, he's poor, he can't pay him back. The second time, the person, he has the money, but he refuses to give it to him. But he refuses to give it to him. So in the situations like this, there's no zakat on this wealth, so long as it's in this state. So long as it's in this state, whether 1 year goes by, 2 years goes by, 3 years goes by, like this, so long as he's not able to access his money, that wealth right there, he will not have to pay zakat on it. And this is from the justice of the law of Allah and the legislation, alhamdulillah. So this is the condition here. This is the condition here. And now the question comes, what is the obligation upon him if he does get a hold of his wealth? For example, if the hold is lifted from his account. If the hold is lifted from his account, or if that poor person he had the wealth, yani Allah provided for him and he paid back the loan. Finally, the poor man, he made some moves and he got some wealth and he had enough to finally pay back that $5,000 and he paid him back. Or that person who was delaying him and postponing him, finally he feared Allah Azza wa Jal, or he was put into a circumstance where he's forced to pay back, and the likes like this, somebody went and made shafa'ah on him to get him to pay back his debt, and he paid it back. So now we see that the money goes back into the hand of the owner, and now he's able to do what he likes with it. So what would he have to do now, whenever the money now is in his hand? The people of knowledge, they differ with regards to this. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that he will at that time not have to pay any zakat. Rather, he will begin the hold at that moment. And if his money is reaching the nisab, the money that he got back was reaching the nisab, then he will begin at that point the hold from the time he gets his hand on it. And from the time he has authority and complete control over that wealth. Another position, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, rather, as soon as he gets his hand on it, and as soon as he regains control and authority over his wealth, he must pay zakat for 1 year, regardless of how long it was gone. And if it was gone for a year, or 2 years, or 3 years, he'll have to pay zakat for only 1 year. For only 1 year. And the scholars of our day, the first position was the position of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and the second position is the position of Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and likewise it's what Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli has mentioned is the strongest of the two. Many of these benefits here are from some lessons that I summarized and benefited from Sheikhuna Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli. Likewise, Sheikh Uthaymeen as well in his work, Al-Sharh al-Mumti', they mentioned that this one is better. The position here that he will pay zakat on 1 year only. And in doing this is being gentle and kind with the person who has the money, yani the owner of the wealth, and he's not charging him for all of those years that had passed. And also is freeing his accountability from blame, yani ibra' dhimma. And likewise, it's also being just and kind and fulfilling the right of the poor. the right of the poor. So by paying the zakat on that wealth for 1 year, only once he gets it back in his hands, it has these benefits here. From that, having great care and concern, observing the right of the poor with regards to that wealth, because that wealth has reached that amount and it has been available for this long. So therefore, the right of the poor is established there. And likewise, it's a means for the person who gives it to free himself from blame. To free himself from blame, and he fulfills that obligation and that right on his wealth. And also, it's also being gentle and kind in dealing with the owner of the wealth by not forcing him to pay all of those years, only zakat for 1 year. So wallahu a'lam, this would be the best position. Wallahu a'lam, this will be the best position. So if a person, he had some wealth and then he had loaned it out, or even if he lost it, for example, he had, for example, $5,000, and then he was worried about thieves or the likes like this, and he hid it somewhere. He hid it somewhere, and then he forgot it. Maybe, for example, he put it inside of a book, and then he put it somewhere, and then he forgot which book it was, and he forgot where it was in his home, and the likes like this, or he loaned it, he can't find it. He looked through all of the places where he thought it's not there, it's not available. So it's his, he owns it, but he can't find it. So then if he finds it later, maybe he doesn't find it for 3 years. He doesn't find it for 3 years. $5,000, 3 years later, he finds it. Alhamdulillah. So what would he do? With regards to the zakat, he'll pay zakat for only 1 year. He pays zakat for only 1 year. And this is observing the right of the poor. And also not making him pay zakat for all 3 years. This is being gentle and kind with him likewise. And also is hastening to free himself from blame. Likewise, this money here, the one who lost his money and then he found it, or the one who loaned somebody who's poor the wealth, or he loaned somebody some money and then they went bankrupt, and then eventually he wound up getting money and paying him back, or the one who was delaying him and postponing him and being stingy and being greedy and the likes like this, finally gives him his money. This money here is similar to the fruit, the fruit that a person he came up on, any of the fruits and the crops, whenever they come, you have to give the zakat immediately. So this is like a great fruit, a great benefit that just came out of nowhere. He was not expecting. Suddenly he found his money. Suddenly he found his money after 3 years, after 2 years, or the likes like this. Suddenly the man who was poor, he came into some wealth and paid back his debt. It was unexpected. The man is poor. He doesn't have anything he can do with regards to that. And then suddenly Allah provided for him, and the man, he came and paid back the debt. So it's like a fruit that he stumbled upon. He came up and the likes like this. So also from this aspect, this is another murajjih, or thing that makes this position heavier in the scale. So the one who had some wealth and he was not able to use it or to access it for more than a year, and the wealth requires to have zakat, whenever he gets that wealth back, then he'll only pay zakat on it for 1 year. He will only pay zakat on it for 1 year. As for the case of somebody who loaned another person some money, for example, we say $5,000 again. He loaned another person some money, but this person is honorable, this person is trustworthy, and he's not poor. And he's ready to give the money back whenever the person requests it. He loaned him $5,000, and that person is using that money for whatever he needs. But whenever the man, the owner of that wealth, he requests that money back, he'll give it to him. He's ready to pay him back at any moment. So this money here is as if it's in his hand. At any moment, he can call the person and say, I need my money back. I'm in a jam here. I know you owe me that $5,000. Can you pay it back today? And he'll be ready. So therefore, this wealth here, he must pay zakat on it every year. Even though it's not in his hand. It's as if it's in his hand. Because the man, he's ready to pay him back. So this is the fourth condition that we discussed, that people of knowledge, as I said, al-milku at-tam, or istiqrar al-milk, that he will have complete ownership. The fifth condition that we discuss, an yakuna al-malu halalan, that the wealth, it must be halal, it must be lawful. What is intended by this? We see the people of knowledge, they mention al-malu al-haram ala thalathati aqsam. Al-mal al-haram ala thalathati aqsam. That the wealth that is impermissible, the wealth that is considered haram, is three different types. It's three different types. And the first type is the type of wealth that a person, he does not own it in the first place. The type of wealth that someone will have in his possession, but he has no ownership over it whatsoever. Like al-mal al-masruq, or al-mal al-maghsub, the type of wealth that somebody stole. Somebody stole it. When no one was looking, he stole the money. And he has it in his hand. It does not belong to him. Or somebody who went to somebody else and he forced them out of their money and coerced them out of their money. And he's strong-arming them and the likes like this and taking their money from them directly. That money that he has now, it's in his possession, but he does not have ownership over it. And this ownership here is not allowed. It's not permissible. So this money right here, whoever gets his hand on that money, it's an obligation to return it back to the owner. This money right here that is stolen, and the likes like this, this money right here is an obligation to return it back to its owner. He will not pay zakat on that. The second type of money that's considered haram, or wealth that is considered haram, is the one that is earned from an avenue that is impermissible. The type of wealth that is earned from an avenue that is impermissible, like the type of wealth that is earned from interest, or from someone who is buying and trading with items or commodities that are haram and not permissible. Or he's making transactions and contracts and they're haram and not permissible. And therefore he's making an earning. He's making an earning and making a profit with these affairs. For example, somebody who sells alcohol, or somebody who sells cigarettes, or somebody who sells anything that's impermissible or haram, or any of his transactions that he does has affairs that are considered yani mahavir. Al-Mahavir al-Shar'iyya with regards to the way that he's doing his business. So therefore the money that comes to him, he has authority over it and he has ownership over it, but it is an ownership that is considered haram and impermissible. So what is incumbent upon this person likewise? This money that he obtains from an avenue or from a means that is haram and not allowed, that is haram and impermissible and forbidden, he must get rid of it. The way out of this wealth here is called at-takhallus. Here the people of knowledge, they make an important point that he has to give it away. He has to get rid of it. But what is intended here by getting rid of it is not sadaqah. لا يتصدق به. He's not going to give it in charity. He's not going to even, he sold $500 worth of alcohol. He made $500 profit on alcohol. Or on other items that are haram and the likes like this. So he has $500 and the likes like this. And then he wants to get rid of it. He wants to repent. He will not say, oh, I'll give it in charity to so-and-so. Or I'll give it sadaqah for so-and-so. Or sadaqah in this path or in that path and the likes like this. This is not something that one will give sadaqah with. So there's a difference between the two. He's going to give it away, but he's not going to give it away as sadaqah. He's going to give it away yatakhallusan minhu. He wants to get rid of it. He wants to get it away from him. So then he will give it away. He will give it away with this intention here. He has the intention to get rid of it. He doesn't want to have it in his wealth. He wants to repent from that. He wants to get rid of it. He wants to get it away from him. So he'll give it away. Not with the intention of charity. Rather with the intention of repentance and getting it out of his wealth and getting it out of his hand. So if he gave it away and he made takhallus and got rid of it, there's no zakat on that wealth. And whoever repents to Allah sincerely, then Allah, He is the most forgiving and most merciful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he kept his hand on it and he did not make takhallus, he did not get rid of it, where he kept it and he used it and he spent it and he used it for his benefit and the likes like this, then he will have to pay zakat on that. And because it is the right, it's the right of the poor. So this person here, if he has this money that's haram, and then he refused to get rid of it, and it reaches the nisab, then he will have to pay zakat on that. He will have to pay the zakat on that, and Allah knows best. Not for the intention of purifying his wealth, because his wealth is haram. And giving zakat here would not purify his wealth. How would he purify this wealth? to get rid of it. That's the way to repent and to get rid of it. This wealth, the only way to be purified from that is to get rid of it. You can't give charity. Charity is not accepted from the khabith, from the haram. In the light side, he knows it's haram. He knows that this money here, this dollar here is haram. And he got it from a haram means. He can't give that in charity. That will not be accepted. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَكْبَرُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So if he wants to be free from that, and he wants to repent to Allah, he'll make the khalus, he'll get rid of it. He'll give it away with the intention of getting it out of his hands and repenting to Allah. That's how he will purify this wealth. As for if he refuses to do that, if he refuses to do that, and he does not fear Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to that, and he keeps it, and he uses that he likes, and he uses that he likes, then he will have to give zakat on that. He will have to give zakat on that, not as purifying his wealth, but as doing the right, fulfilling the right of the fuqara, and fulfilling the right of the poor and the needy, and Allah knows best. The poor and the needy, and Allah knows best. After this, we have the sixth condition. The sixth condition is murur al-hawl. The passing of al-hawl. Al-hawl is 1 year. But what is intended? As-sana al-qamariyah. As-sana al-qamariyah. 1 year, meaning one lunar year. Meaning according to the Islamic calendar. According to the Islamic calendar. So a person, he will not start counting, for example, in January or February or March, and then he'll say next March, or the like site is using this calendar. No, all of the rulings that are related to time and the likes like this, that are prescribed times, so on and so forth, that are related to specific time, then what is intended here? The time by way of the lunar calendar in Islamic, in the Islamic calendar. And this is something that's very important to realize, especially for us in America. Maybe somebody who is new to Islam and the likes will learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to fast on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every month. And then they'll start fasting, for example, on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of June, and July, and August, and September. And this is not correct. And this is not what is intended. Yani, there's a specific reason for that, yani, that's related to the time, and that's the time of the full moon. The time of the full moon, on those nights. Yani, so those 13th, 14th, and 15th are from those nights. And there's a wisdom Allah, He knows behind that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the doctors have mentioned any benefits of that, but in any case, it's the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the lunar month, not of the Christian calendar. So likewise here in Zakat, the whole, the period that must go by before the Zakat becomes obligatory, is called al-hawl. Hawlan al-hawl. But what is intended by that is the one lunar year. So this issue here of having the hawl, this is with regards to the gold and the silver. The gold and the silver, and that which has the same characteristic as gold and the silver. Any meaning the money. Meaning the money, the cash money, the dollars and the currency, and the reals and the likes like this. They have the same description as the gold and the silver, which is any athamaniyah, it's value. So the dollars are taking place of the gold and the silver. Before, they used to buy and purchase with gold and silver. They buy and trade and sell and the likes like this. And today we do it with dollars. With dollars and reals and the likes like this. And it's taking that place. So this issue here, it has a hawl. And likewise, behematul an'am, there's a hawl with regards to that. The person, he must have them in his possession for the entire hawl, for the entire lunar calendar. Likewise, urud tijara, the items that he has for sale. The items that he has for sale that he's hoping to profit and make commerce and trade with. It's been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, and likewise in Sunan Ibn Majah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنَ اسْتَفَادَ مَالٍ فَلَا زَكَاةَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَحُولَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. That whoever obtains some wealth, yani whoever obtains or earn some wealth, then there's no zakat on that until the whole has gone by, until the one whole lunar year has gone by, and with his owner. Meanwhile, it's in his possession. So this is the case here, and this is the origin. But there are some exceptions to this rule. So this is something that we have to pay attention to. It can become confusing if a person is not paying attention to the issue. He's not able to realize it or to visualize it. So we have now the person, for example, he has some money. Or a person, for example, he has these animals. Or he has items for sale. And these items, they reach the nisab. Whenever they reach the nisab, when it's in his possession and it reaches the nisab, the amount which makes it obligatory to have zakat, he'll begin counting. If he keeps it in his possession for the whole year without going under the nisab, then he'll have to pay zakat on that. We understand just the general idea. We'll go into some more details on the next, inshallah, on the next condition. But just so that we can see. So a person, for example, he got $5,000. He got $5,000 and it stayed in his possession for one whole year. He will not have to pay for zakat on that. For example, 6 months later, he has $5,000 still. Is zakat obligatory? 7 months later, 8 months later, 10 months later. Not until it's 12 months on the lunar calendar. Once that period has gone by and it's still in his possession, now it's an obligation to pay the zakat. It's not allowed for him to delay. Except in certain circumstances where it will be beneficial for the poor people. But the origin is, whenever it becomes obligatory, he must pay. Somebody, for example, his hawl is in Sha'ban. He will not say, I'm going to wait till Ramadan because Ramadan is virtuous. That's not allowed for him. It becomes obligatory for him in Sha'ban. He has to pay in Sha'ban. And there is a way to get it all in Ramadan, inshallah. But in general, the person who his hawl is in Sha'ban, when Sha'ban comes, the time on that day, it becomes an obligation for him and a right of the poor people for him to give that wealth. So the point is now, the general ruling is that the zakat will not be obligatory on that wealth until the hawl goes entirely. But now we want to talk about some exceptions to that. And that is, for example, a person who has the wealth and the hawl is going on his wealth. And then he gains more wealth during the hawl. We understand the picture? In general. Don't put any new pictures in your mind. Just understand the one that we're talking about now. Because we can put a lot of different pictures. We're going to do little by little, step by step. So he has money. He's waiting to pay the hawl. Six months later, he got more money. What is the ruling on the more money? How do we deal with the more money? Will it have its own hold, or will it include it in the hold of the original money? This is the issue that we want to discuss. This issue here has three different circumstances. Again, a person, he has money, he's waiting for the hold. In the middle of the hold, he gets new money. What is the ruling of the new money? It's going to come, inshallah. So this issue here, there's three different situations. There's three different circumstances with this new money. So if that new money was from the profit of that same money, then it has the same hold. If that new money was a result of the profit of that same money, it has the same hold. Somebody who had $5,000, for example. The hold is going on his $5,000. He's waiting. 6 months goes by. He takes that $5,000 and he invests it in a trade. And then he doubles his money. Now he has $10,000. So the origin is $5,000. The hold is going on that. 6 months later, $5,000 more came, which is a result and a fruit of that same money. That $5,000, it has the same hold as the original money, because it's stemming from that original money and it's a profit of that money. So this extra money that's a profit from the original money, you don't wait for the hold. It's gathered and included in the hold of the original money. لَنَهُ فَرْعٌ أَنْ أَصْلٌ وَالْفَرْعُ يَتْبَعُ أَصْلَهُ. Because it's proceeding from this money that is the origin. And the money that proceeds from that, it follows that in the ruling. Is this point clear? Similar like that, somebody, for example, he has sheep. we haven't seen yet, but we'll discuss briefly. The sheep and the goats and the likes like this, the nisab is 40. If he has 40 for 1 year, 40 sheep, he has to pay one sheep as zakat. And it remains like this all the way to 120. Anybody who has 40 to 120 sheep for 1 year, he must pay. And there's conditions likewise here, the details. but for just in general, he has 40, between 40 and 100 sheep for 1 year, he has to pay one sheep. He has to pay one sheep. You understand? That's what the people of Nazir say. مَالٌ قَلِيلٌ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ الْمَالِ الْكَثِيرِ. A little bit of wealth taken from a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. If you pay zakat on $100, you pay $2.50. Huh? If you pay zakat on $1,000, you pay $25. You pay $25. Okay, so it's a little money from a lot of money. The point here now is that, for example, if somebody, he had 40 sheep. Halfway through the hole, a number of them gave birth. A number of them gave birth. You understand? We'll say, for example, 20 of them gave birth. He's got 120. So at the end of the year, how much does he have to give?
One.
Huh? He has to give one. What if we say, for example, he has 40 sheep. Every one of them gave birth to three. How much is that? That's 120, right? Uh-huh. Okay, all of them gave birth to three of them, except one of them, he gave birth to four. Now he's got 121. How many does he have to give? He has to give two sheep. Along with the fact that the hole was with the 40. During the hole, these sheep gave birth. So the children, right, the baby sheep, the hole didn't go over them. And this is not a requirement. Because they came from these sheep that the hold is already upon. So they follow the origin in the hold. We understand that? The same as the money. If it came from the same source, from the same reason, the profit, from the same wealth, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The people of knowledge, they mentioned about this issue here, the Prophet ﷺ used to send down people to the fields and to the outskirts of the towns to the people who have cattle. And whenever they would go there, they would count the heads. They'll count the heads of the cattle. You have how many cattle do you, how many sheep do you have? And they'll count the heads. They wouldn't say, when was this one born and when was that one born? Rather, they'll count the heads, and based upon the number of heads they count, they take the zakat from that person. They take the zakat from that person. So this is an issue here. So there's the whole, but that which follows the whole or is proceeding from the same wealth, then it follows that original wealth in the whole. It follows that original wealth in the whole. We understand that? The second situation is somebody who has some wealth, but it's not from the same wealth. It's not from the same type of wealth. For example, somebody who has, for example, $5,000. And he's waiting, he's in the middle of the hole. He has $5,000. In the middle of the hole, he gets 40 sheep. That's not for sale. 40 sheep, that's not for tijara. It's not for business. Do they have the same hole?
No, they don't.
No, they have different hole. Why?
Because they're two different types of wealth.
Two different types of mal. Two different types of wealth. They both have zakat on them, but they're not the same. And that one didn't come from the other. So they will not be gathered together. This one has its own hold and this one has its own hold. This one has its own hold and this one has its own hold. So the hold for the money is whenever it comes. And then the hold for the sheep is whenever, from the day that he got the sheep. So this is the example of one of our person. He has some money to pay zakat on and he's waiting for the hold. And in the middle of that hold, he gets some more money. But it's not from the same type of money or the same reason. You understand that? So therefore, each one will have its own whole and period that one would have to wait in order for the zakat to become obligatory. The third situation, the one who obtained some money and in the middle of the whole he has the money again. For example, the $5,000, he has the money again, and he has $5,000, and in the middle of the whole he gets some more money. And he from the exact same money. And he's got money he's going to pay zakat on. And then he gets more money. And they're both of them the same type of wealth. They're both the same type of wealth. But they have a different reason. For example, this person, he got $5,000. 6 months later, somebody gave him a gift, $5,000 more. One of his friends said, Jazakallah khairan, I want to give you a gift. Barakallah fiqh, here's $5,000. Do what you like with it. Do what you like with it. Does this new $5,000 follow the hold of this one? No, this one is different. Same thing, for example, when somebody has $5,000, he's waiting for the hold. 6 months later, or 7 months later, 8 months later, he inherits $5,000. One of his relatives dies and inherits $5,000. So now does that $5,000, the new $5,000, follow the original $5,000? Is it obligatory to pay zakat whenever it's obligatory to pay on the first one?
No.
Although it's the same type of wealth, they have different reasons why they came into his possession. The reason for ownership is different. سبب الملك يختلف. You understand that? The reason for his ownership is different. So this original wealth, it has its original hold. And the new wealth that came from a different reason and from a different source, and his ownership was on this because of a different reason, then it has its own hold. And it's not obligatory to include it in that hold. It's not obligatory to include it in that hold. Although it's allowed to, if he wants to. Although it's allowed to, if he wants to. If he finds that it's easy for him, it's hard for him to count the hold of this 5,000 and count the hold of this 5,000. Okay, this 5,000 is in Ramadan, this 5,000 is in Rajab. And then maybe he got another 5,000, this one is in Muharram and the likes like this. Instead of waiting for the zakat to go on each one of these different wealths, he can put them all together and pay them at one time. He can put them all together and pay them at one time. The one of them will be paid according to the hold, the original hold, and the other ones will be paid early. The other ones will be paid ahead of time before their hold comes, and this is allowed. And this is allowed. Similar like this, people who get salaries. Similar like this, the people who get salaries, somebody who gets a monthly payment. For example, somebody who gets $5,000 a month. $5,000 a month, or we'll say more than that. With somebody who gets $10,000 a month, and he saved $5,000 a month. Somebody who's wealthy. Somebody, he makes $10,000 a month, and he saves $5,000 a month from his paycheck. His monthly paycheck. So every month, every paycheck has its own hold. Each paycheck is a different reason for having his wealth. This paycheck was for this month. This paycheck is for this month. This paycheck is for this month. So he's saving every month $5,000. So if he wanted to look at it in the origin, then he will have a hold for every month in this manner. You understand that? This money, it becomes obligatory in the first month. This money becomes obligatory in the second month. This money becomes obligatory in the third month. Right? This is the obligation. But it's allowed to put them all together and pay them at once. Even the last one that came. The last one that came, it came only just a month ago. It's allowed to put them all together and pay them at once. We understand this one?
No.
This one is clear. Alhamdulillah. So somebody who gets a paycheck and he saves from his paycheck every month, nisab or more, then when's the obligation? Every paycheck has its own hold. You understand? But it's allowed for him, and for it to be easy for him. And some of the people of knowledge, they encourage, go ahead and just put them all together. That way it's easy for you. Don't tire yourself out. Don't, maybe you missed this or you forgot that. No, just put it all together, pay it all in Ramadan. Like this. Put it all together and make and pay it all in Ramadan. Or all in this month, or all in that month. Whatever person decides. Whatever person he decides. We understand that? That's how he would do that. Let's save the questions for the end. We got to stay focused. We stay focused. Barakallahu fikum. Don't forget your question, inshallah. I know it's important, both of you. But we have to save them to the end, inshallah. So this is the case. If a person, he got $5,000, he's waiting on the hold. 7 months later, he got inheritance, $5,000. So how many months is left for the original hold? Huh? 5 months. 5 months. So with the new 5,000, what is obligatory for him? When would it become obligatory to pay zakat?
1 year.
After 1 year. But it's allowed for him to pay it all together. You need to pay it early. If he wants to. Maybe it could even happen. Maybe that 5,000, the new 5,000 inheritance, maybe he'll spend that before the even whole comes.
Right.
Maybe he'll spend that before the whole comes. So it's not obligatory for him. This is why. It's not obligatory for him to add it to the money that he has. He has one whole year. So if it's with him for one whole year, now it's an obligation to pay zakat.
But maybe he'll get $5,000 in Rajab and before, yani, 2-3 months before Sha'ban is gone.
Right.
It's gone. It's all gone. There'll be no zakat on that. Or before Sha'ban, it's not all gone, but it has fallen underneath the nisab. So there's no zakat on that money. But if he wanted to, he can add it to that money. He gives zakat on that, yani, just in case. Or yani, brought in the dhimma. And the likes like this, this is all allowed. This is all allowed. We understand that? Inshallah, tomorrow and the next day, we're going to continue with the book of Zakat instead of Kabair for the next 2 days. We're going to go straight, inshallah, to the Dawra, discussing these issues here with regards to the conditions and that which is related to that, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow and the next day. And then also just a reminder, yani, with regards to the classes on the weekdays after Maghrib, after the Adhan, we're just waiting for our Imam to come. So whenever the Imam comes, it's time for Salah. So if there's a question or the likes like this, yani, whenever the Imam comes, the class stops. So we all know that. But sometimes maybe somebody forgets. Yani, if maybe you have a question and the Imam is standing right there. So if the Imam is standing right there, the question is going to... Whenever I notice the Imam, inshallah, coming, we're gonna stop class. That's why sometimes all of a sudden we stop class, because we see the Imam coming, and that means it's time for Salah. So whenever there are like right now, our discussion continue until our Imam come. He established the prayer. We stop the class.